कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जान Gopi Jan Malaba Giri Badan Hari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Sira Banachari Jamuna Sira Banachari Jaya Radma Jai Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa, Padi Vajakacharya, Asatara Satyashri Shivan, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda, Ki Jai. Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur, Ki Jai. Prem Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta, Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radhashamasunda, Gopa Gopinath, Shamakun, Dham ki jai, Navadvip Dham ki jai, Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai, Gangamani ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktarinda ki jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, and we really mean it, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminathi Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivashesha Srinivadi Pasya Chate Satarine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. We are reading today from the first canto on chapter 19, which is called The Appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. We're on text number 20. Nava idam rajasi varya chitram.
Nava idam rajasi
varya chitram. Bhavastu Krishnam samanuvrateshu. Bhavatsu Krishnam samanuvrateshu. Yedyasyasanam rajakiritajustam. Yedyasanam Raja Kirita Justam. Sadyo Jahor Bhagavat Parshvakama. Sadyo Jahor Bhagavat Parshvakama. Nava idam Rajasi Varya Chitram. Bhavastu Krishnam samanuvrateshu. Yedyasanam Raja Kirita Justam. Sadyo Jahor Bhagavat Parshva Kama. Please chant. Nava idam rajasi varya chitram. Yajasanam raja kirita justam. Sadyo jahur bhagavad parshvakama. Navar idam rajasi varya chitram. Bhavatsu Krishnam samanuvartateshu. Yedyasanam raja kirita justam. Sadyo jahu bhagavad parshvakama. Rajasi Varya Chitram. Bhavatsu Krishnam Samanuvrateshu. Yedyasanam Raja Kirita Justam. Sadyo Jahur Bhagavad Parshvakamaha. Bhavatsu Krishnam samanuvrateshu. Yedyasanam rajakirita justam. Sadyo jahur bhagavat parshvakama. Nava idam rajasi varya chitram. Bhavatsu Krishnam samanuvrateshu. Yedyasanam raja kirita justam. Sadyo jahur bhagavat parshvakamaha. Na. Neither. Va. Like this. Idam. This. Rajarsi. Saintly king. Varya. The chief. Chitram. Astonishing. Bhavastu. Unto all of you. Krishnam. Lord Krishna. Samanuvrateshu. Unto those who are strictly in the line of.
Yay.
Who?
Adyasanam.
Seated on the throne.
Raja Kirita.
Helmets of kings.
Justam.
Decorated. Sadhya.
Immediately.
Jahu.
Gave up.
Bhagavat.
The personality of Godhead.
Parshvakama.
Desiring to achieve association.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The sages said, O chief of all the saintly kings of the Pandu dynasty who are strictly in the line of Lord Sri Krishna, it is not at all astonishing that you give up your throne, which is decorated with the helmets of many kings, to achieve eternal association with the personality of Godhead. The sages said, O chief of all saintly kings of the Pandu dynasty who are strictly in the line of Lord Sri Krishna, it is not at all astonishing that you give up your throne, which is decorated with the helmets of many kings, to achieve eternal association with the personality of Godhead. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
I was born in the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I am totally indebted to him and beg for service life after life.
Haribol, that was the best thing I ever said, right? Thanks. Thanks for that encouragement. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Foolish politicians who hold political administrative posts think that the temporary posts they occupy are the highest material gain of life, and therefore they stick to those posts even up to the last moment of life. That's exactly what this translation is saying. The sages are acknowledging to Maharaj Parikit. They're encouraging him. And they're acknowledging that, yes, it's not surprising that you would give up this temporary post, even though it is quite exalted, and your reign as king, your throne as that you sit on as the king of the whole world is decorated with many helmets of other subordinate kings. And even though it appears so important and so exalted, it's not at all surprising that you'd give it up in a second. And that's what he did. He gave it up in a second. When he compared, which he had his whole life done, compared the value of material activities to the value of transcendental devotional service to the Lord. So the comparison between the two, the value and benefit one gets from whatever endeavor one makes in material life, even though it might be very successful, even one might be very, you know, have a very exalted position, or, like most of us, not have a very exalted position, but have something that we're clinging onto with all our might that is going to fade away, is fading away, and guaranteed to fade away, and also guaranteed to bring many troubles along with the responsibilities and the so-called pleasures, in comparison to the benefit, the eternal benefit and the eternal pleasure that one gets from engaging in devotional service with a pure heart. The human form of life is meant for achieving this end. I wonder if you could count how many times we've heard this same point in Srila Prabhupada's writings, that the human form of life is meant for achieving what? Ultimately, love of Godhead. That's the benefit, that's the goal that we have from this human form of life. We have the opportunity
to achieve the highest thing. Forget all these temporary achievements and their temporary pleasures and their the so-called pleasures that one gets from achieving some temporary satisfaction, because it's so fleeting. But compared to the eternal benefit of the ever-expanding bliss of engaging in devotional service, there actually is no proper comparison. But Srila Prabhupada says this over and over again to us, to remind us, because even though we've heard it, and even though we have faith in it, even though we understand it to some degree, because of our long association with the material energy, still we're so attracted by this flickering material pleasure, so-called pleasure, that we have to hear it over and over again. The Lord, continuing on in the purport, the Lord has assured us in the Bhagavad Gita many times that going back to Godhead, His eternal abode, is the highest achievement. Now this next section of the purport is going to be an excerpt of prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj, while praying to Lord Nrisimhadev, said, "Oh my Lord, I am very much afraid of the materialistic way of life. And I'm not at all, not the least afraid of your present ghastly, ferocious feature as Nrisimhadev." That feature of Nrisimhadev, with his anger that's shaking the whole world, and his ferocious countenance and his many hands and his killing all the demons aside from Hiranyakashipu and ripping out his entrails and wearing them as a garland around his neck and having blood, little splats of blood dropped on his mane. That form that frightened the demigods so much that they were even afraid to approach him, Prahlad says, "I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that, because by seeing that form of yours, by seeing that," it's okay, it's nice to have somebody in here, right? Hare Krishna. "By seeing that ghastly form of yours, that's not as frightening to me as the what materialistic life is like, the glitter of materialistic life. Because what comes after that glitter comes the entanglement of repeated birth and death. By becoming attracted to that glitter of materialistic life and acting in that, and trying to act in that capacity to enjoy material pleasure, comes so much entanglement in the cycle of repeated birth and death. I'm way more afraid of that than your feature, your angry feature that you're presenting right now." Here's a nice comparison that we don't often hear. This materialistic way of life is something like a grinding stone, and we are being crushed by it. Crushed by that grinding stone of materialistic endeavor, the attempt for materialistic happiness, and the mitigation of material distress. By that attempt, it's like being ground, crushed by a grinding stone. I happen to have a little personal experience being crushed in a grinding machine, and it was not pleasant, just in case anyone had any inclination that it might have been pleasant. It wasn't pleasant at all, and the pain lasted for a long time, and so did the bleeding. But anyway, but in a grinding stone, whoa. And that's what Prahlad Maharaj is comparing the materialistic life, the materialistic endeavor for that. Shush. "We have fallen into this," this is Prahlad Maharaj again, "we have fallen into this horrible whirlpool of the tossing waves of life. And thus, my Lord, I pray at your lotus feet to call me back to your eternal abode as one of your servitors." The amazing thing is, in case you're not following this is my comment, Prahlad says, we have fallen into this horrible whirlpool of the tossing waves of life. And yet the impression that we have, we and millions and unlimited other millions of conditioned souls have the impression that, okay, I might not be happy right now. Things might not be perfectly happy in my life right now, but they're not so bad. They're not so bad. And if I could just adjust this and get a better job and maybe a better house or a better situation or whatever we consider better, then I'll be more happy. Even though I'm tossing in the horrible waves of materialistic life, and I'm being ground on a grinding stone, and all my endeavors and all my attachments are crumbling before my eyes. And yet I think, oh, it's not so bad. I mean, I have food on the table, or whatever you might think. Okay, but Prahlad Maharaj says, forget this grinding stone, forget this horrible whirlpool of materialistic life. Please call me back to your eternal abode as one of your servitors. And then he goes on to say, this is the summit liberation of this materialistic way of life. I have very bitter experience of the materialistic way of life. And at this particular time, we have to remember that he's still a young boy. He's still, you know, he's not old Prahlad Maharaj. He's a young boy, just after Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared and ripped open his father and killed a few hundred other demons that were around at the same time. And I have very bitter experience of the materialistic way of life, in whichever species of life I have taken birth, compelled by the force of my own activities. I'm not blaming you. I'm not blaming you for my sojourn in material life and the ups and downs in my life, especially the downs. I'm not blaming you. I understand that by my activity, I'm reaping the results. The unfortunate thing is that I don't have any remembrance of what I did to deserve this, and therefore sometimes in complete illusion, I think, it's their fault, it's his fault, it's God's fault, it's that person's fault, it's whatever. That situation, if that situation didn't happen, I wouldn't be suffering right now. But actually, the suffering that we're undergoing in our life is due to the past activities that we've done. And this is another point that Srimad Bhagavatam brings to our attention over and over and over again. Our life or activities or what we're going through in life is not the result of someone else's fault or someone else's arrangement. It's due to my own arrangement, what I have done. I'm responsible, not this person, not that situation. I'm responsible. Because I acted in such a way, I'm in this certain circumstance. So Prahlad says, I'm going to read it again. In whichever species of life I have taken birth, compelled by the force of my own activities, I have very painfully experienced two things. Separation from my beloved and meeting with what is not wanted. So succinctly put, right? And does it cover practically everything? Yes, practically everything. And if it doesn't cover quite everything, he still has a few more prayers that will cover the rest of the things that happened to us. I have painfully experienced two things, namely separation from my beloved and meeting with what is not wanted. But I keep trying to counteract them. And he says, and to counteract them, the remedies which I undertook were more dangerous than the disease itself. So I drift from one point to another birth after birth. I'm going to read that again. So I drift from one point to another birth after birth. And I pray to you, therefore, to give me a shelter at your lotus feet. This is the beauty of transcendental literature. It tells things like they are. It gives us a stark reality check. or we could say, a real reality check. This is really what material life is like. There's always disappointment. Even in the quote-unquote perfect relationship, there's separation from my beloved, and there's, how did he say? And meeting with that which is not wanted. But it doesn't leave you there in the depressed condition of you know, wanting to merge in the void. It doesn't leave you there and that's the beauty and the nature of transcendental realization. It gives us a picture of stark reality, and then it gives us the highest hope. It brings us to the transcendental position where the highest hope and the, again, another reality check, the real reality of eternal life and the happiness of eternal service at the lotus feet of the Lord in various ways. It brings us there. So it doesn't leave us, it gives us a wake-up call, you could say, to align our desires and endeavors with transcendental knowledge and transcendental endeavor. But it also encourages us to what the final goal of that transcendental knowledge and transcendental endeavor is, awaken us, sometimes by harsh words, sometimes by harshly speaking the reality, sometimes by gently giving nice examples, sometimes by encouraging statements, sometimes by telling stories of the examples of other people's lives, etc., so that we can see that this where I'm at in the material world right now might not be a particularly advanced stage of consciousness, and where I want to go is 100% pure loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the gap between the two might seem insurmountable, but by these encouraging statements, by these examples of the great sages, and by my personal application of the little information that I'm understanding and applying to my life, I can see that the mercy that the Lord gives to one who makes that attempt far outweighs the pain of the endeavor, or even the apparent small accomplishment of our insignificant endeavor to reach that goal. In other words, as we've heard stated in different ways, if we take one step towards Krishna, he takes 10 steps towards us. That's a pretty good deal, proportionately speaking, right? That's a pretty good investment. So even if we're motivated by that, you know, that, even that helps encourage us to stay on the path. So the mercy that the Lord gives, it far outweighs the cost of our endeavor, or our endeavor. You know, we get so much mercy, and that's the characteristic of our merciful Lord. So continuing on, the Pandava kings, who were more than many saints of the world, knew the bitter result of materialistic way of life. What can be a more vivid example than the Pandavas' life? There they were, such noble birth, such pious family, such righteous, pure-hearted, qualified individuals. And yet, we could go on and on and on about the trials and tribulations that they underwent repeatedly, over and over, for their whole life. There wasn't even a break, practically. Didn't even get a break, practically, ever. Even then, I won't go there. Okay, yeah, so they're saying. They knew the bitter results of the materialistic way of life, but they also knew, because of their transcendental association with saintly personalities, they also knew the results of engaging in devotional service. So therefore, they weren't foolish, and they applied themselves to engage in devotional service at every opportunity. Prabhupada says, they were never captivated by the glare of the imperial throne they occupy, and they sought always the opportunity of being called by the Lord to associate with him eternally. And in fact, there are many instances where the Pandavas were scheming, you could say, scheming how to, maybe we should have a big yajna and invite Krishna to come. Maybe we should do this and then Krishna will come. They're always scheming how to get Krishna's association and bring him to their palace and kingdom. Maharaj Parikshit was the worthy grandson of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira gave up the imperial throne to his grandson, and similarly Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of Maharaj Yudhisthira, gave up the imperial throne to his son Janmanjaya. That is the way of all the kings in the dynasty, because they are all strictly in the line of Lord Krishna. They're Raja Rishis, they're kings, they're qualified saintly kings, but they're also compared to Rishis too. They knew the purport of the scriptures, and they knew how to apply the scriptures in various circumstances that normally would bewilder many people, how to apply transcendental knowledge to different circumstances. Thus, the devotees of the Lord are never enchanted by the glare of materialistic life, and they live impartially, unattached, to the objects of the false, illusory, materialistic way of life. And that's the end of Srila Prabhupada's purport there. They live impartially, unattached to the objects of the false, illusory, materialistic way of life. So when I, the first time that I read through this verse and purport to prepare for the class, I was really struck with Srila Prabhupada's untiring determination and his patient repetition of these points that he's making. And what are these points that he's making? They're not hugely philosophical, difficult to comprehend points. He's, Srila Prabhupada, speaking to residents in Kali Yuga, and knowing that he's addressing an audience that is practically completely devoid of any conception of spiritual life. Completely devoid. And in fact, when Srila Prabhupada would repeat over and over again how this life is very important, and if you don't utilize the opportunity of the human form of life, the possibility of taking birth in a dog's body is very great. And the reaction he would get is, Swami, if I take birth in a dog's body and can't remember my past life, then what's the problem? That's how dull-headed we are. We don't even see that it's a problem to be a dog. We think, oh, a dog, that's cool, he can do whatever he wants. As you well know, whatever he wants, right? You know? What's the problem? I remember when I joined the temple in 1972 in Boston, there was a girl, Bhaktin Rita. Pridananda Maharaj used to call her pie-faced Rita because she had a very round face. Bless you. She, when she got initiated by Srila Prabhupada, she became Govinda Balava. But pie-faced Rita, sorry, we love you, she said, she would say to me, but if I can't remember, I can very distinctly remember that argument before we read that. But if I take birth as a dog and I can't remember that I used to be a human, then what's my problem? I'm still happy, you know? And so, the point that I'm trying to make. So Govinda Balava has, many years ago, left her body, and certainly a life of great service to the Lord. It certainly is in a very exalted position. So wherever you are, please send some blessings my way, my dear. The point being that Srila Prabhupada, okay, let's take the scenario of the sages now. Maharaj Parikit, you know, in a flash, he didn't have to go to counseling. Should I renounce the throne now, or should I try to counteract the curse, or what? You know, he just knew right off the bat, because his whole life was focused on that. So ready to renounce the kingdom, not only renounce the kingdom, but to fast till death and try to hear the glories of the Lord. And so the great sages from all over the country have heard about this and have come to where he is on the bank of the Ganga Jamuna that he's at near Hastinapur. And they're great, there are thousands of them, thousands of sages, and they're all perfectly fixed in acquiring transcendental knowledge or searching for the goal of life, you know, fully equipped, studying thousands of scriptures for thousands of hours, whatever, and they remember it and realize it. So that's the scene, and that's the scene of this chapter that we're in, and the scene of the information that's being given. And here's Srila Prabhupada writing for people who can't even understand, you know, writing to and repeating the same thing, that, you know, materialistic life isn't going to make you happy. It's not making you happy. I'm not saying anything. I'm not trying to convince you of something that's false. I'm trying to convince you to look at reality, that materialistic life doesn't have any happiness to it. The happiness that comes along with material life is so-called happiness. It's like the happiness that one gets from being dunked into a pond until your lungs are about to burst, and then all of a sudden you're pulled up and you think, oh yeah, now I'm happy. And then down again. There's a story in the Mahabharata of a man who unfortunately fell into a well. But he didn't fall all the way down into the well, and he fell and he grabbed a branch or something, and dangling by the branch. Up above is a tiger. Down at the bottom of the well is a python. Neither one is very loving, and nothing that you'd like, gee, should I go to the tiger or to the python, you know, for a big hug or something, you know. Then he's holding onto this branch, and there's two rats in there also. One's black rat, one's a white rat, representing day and night. And guess what they're doing? They're chewing on the branch, the very thin branch that he's holding on to. But there's a lot of things in that well. There's also a honeycomb. There's also a little bee's nest in there. And it just so happens that he's holding on to that branch, looking up at the tiger, looking down at the python, looking at the rats, and the honey from the beehive just happened to fall right into his mouth. And he thought, oh, not bad. That's cool. When's the next drop gonna come? That's the state of our illusion. That's the state of our illusion. And Srila Prabhupada, and so the point that I was trying to get at, Srila Prabhupada so patient, just like a mother's patient when she's trying to teach her child how to cut the string properly or cut the flower properly. Now, she might not know how to do it, but mother very patiently is watching her carefully and also teaching her. And she doesn't get angry. No, you're doing it wrong. Anyway, a little distraction there. But anyway, Prabhupada's like that, patient, never gives up. Every now and then he'll speak a little harshly, you know, to wake us up. But it's a well-deserved wake-up call. But over and over and over again, he's trying to give the What is he trying to give? Like Lord Nityananda is trying to give. What? The highest transcendental knowledge to the people of the lowest or zero qualifications to receive it, or even zero qualifications to receive it, zero capacity to understand it. So not only do you have to give the transcendental knowledge, but you have to give the means to purify the heart so that they can actually try to understand it and comprehend it. And he's just repeatedly doing that in so many ways. And ad infinitum, and gloriously inspiring so many people to take to the process. So that's just a few thoughts on that. Any comments or questions or corrections or discussion? My dear Vegavati Devi Dasi.
It's a birthday today.
Hers?
Yes.
May you never take birth again. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. I heard you singing the kirtan and I had to come over. It was so enthusiastic.
I'm so glad you live close. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, a couple things. I was appreciating how you were saying that Prabhupada is making us aware of the harsh realities, but also always reminding us of he doesn't stop there. Because I was hearing one devotee speak the other day about affirmations, and happened to mention that, you know, the things we say affect our approach to the world, and one of the things was that there's danger at every step. That's an affirmation in a kind of a negative way. But I thought, but it's also scriptural, and so it's not wrong, but it's like the danger at every step, and I'm so grateful that Krishna is always guiding me how to get past the danger, how to see him in the midst of danger.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I also wanted to comment about pie-faced Rita.
You want to comment about?
Govinda Ballabha.
Oh, pie-faced Rita. Okay, sorry. It came a little fuzzy. I couldn't.
Right, sorry.
Sorry.
But
now everyone's going to remember. Her name is Govinda Ballabha.
We were serving together in Baltimore in the 80s, and then she told me one day, after she got married, you know, inevitably there's days that are difficult, married or unmarried, but in this case it happened to be. That was the cause. But her service was every day. Although she lived outside, she would come every day, and Nittai Gorsundar, these beautiful Gaur-Nittai deities in Baltimore, were the only deities there at the time. She would come every day, and she would iron their kopins.
Uh-huh.
And so she had come from this very difficult encounter with her then husband, and she was doing her service, and all of a sudden she was like, I'm ironing God's underwear. Like lifted her completely out of whatever material quandary she was in. I just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
Lovely soul.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Okie dokie, thank you very kindly for your attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Lord Maharaj Parikit, all glories to Lord Nityananda, Mahajan Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya.